You know, I had an incident years ago that just sort of shook me and made me realize how much we take things for granted. I was involved with a group that was picking up a man who had been in Kenya for 8 years. He'd been doing work with the church there. And when we went to pick him up, the first thing he had to do was to get into the restroom. And he was there, and he stayed, 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 and he stayed. About half an hour later, I went in to see if he was sick or what was wrong. And he was standing in front of the stall with a roll of toilet paper in his hand. And I said, "What are you doing? You got a roll of toilet paper in your hand." He said, "I haven't seen toilet paper in 8 years." Isn't that something to take toilet paper for granted? Of course, my next question was, "Well, what do you guys use in Kenya?" And he's talking about leaves and what have you. As we left the airport, we went by a road going out of the airport, and he said, "You know, I haven't seen a blacktop highway in 8 years." We drove by a grocery store. He said, "I haven't seen a grocery store in 8 years." How much we take for granted. How many times we take women for granted. It's difficult to preach a sermon on Mother's Day because everybody's situation is so different. Being a mother is not a biological thing. My wife Phyllis did not bear a child biologically, but she was the mother of three children. Mother has a very different definition. Sometimes it's interesting how fast that adapts. The woman who is the mother of Cindy's son's child is calling Cindy mother. She isn't saying mother-in-law, she's saying mother. And I'm not exactly sure why that is, but I think she recognizes the warmth and the love and the compassion that is coming across. And if you know Cindy, you know how easily that comes from her. That's not typical of human beings. We are so prone to take things for granted. And we do that in reference to God. You know, it's amazing when you study the nation of Israel how they took God's grace and God's salvation for granted, just like us. Israel was afflicted in Egypt. They were brutalized. They were made slaves. They were beaten. They were treated as animals. They screamed out to God for mercy. And we all know the story of that deliverance. But listen to them 75 days out of Egypt. This is Exodus 16 and verse 3. "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us out of this desert to starve the entire assembly to death." That's 75 days out of Egypt. How soon we forget. Not very long after that, about another month after that, Exodus 17 verse 3, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt and make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" And then we see in Numbers sometime later, and this is what's truly amazing, Numbers 11, beginning with verse 4. "The rebels with them began to crave other food. And again the Israelites started wailing and said, 'If only we had meat to eat. Remember the fish we ate in Egypt? And the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic? But now we've lost our appetite. We don't see anything but this manna.'" They forgot so quickly that there was a time when they didn't know how they were ever going to eat again. We fail to remember that God has given us the potential for a clean conscience. You know, guilt and anger can destroy you. And it's so important to understand the blessings that God has given us. As you read through the New Testament and the connections between being a Christian and life, that you constantly see this basic fundamental need we all have to be at peace, to be able to have a conscience that is free of guilt. The younger you are, the harder that is to understand, perhaps. The less you've gotten embedded in sin, perhaps the more difficult it is to understand. In Hebrews, the 9th chapter, beginning with verse 12, the Bible talks about Jesus and it says, "But he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood and goats and bulls and ashes of heifer sprinkled on those who were ceremonially unclean and sanctify them so they could be outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God," listen to this phrase, "cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve God." Do you understand that one of the great blessings God has given us, one of the things that comes from being a Christian, is to have a conscience that's not riddled with guilt? To have peace because you know what your relationship is to God and that God helps you and guarantees you survival in eternity. In Revelation 7 and verse 14, a passage we studied in depth in our class on Revelation, there's this great promise that says, "They have washed their robes and made themselves white in the blood of the Lamb." That's talking about you. That's talking about me. That's talking about people who need to be free of the feeling of guilt and need to be free of all of the bad things that we have been a part of and have peace with God. In Colossians 1, beginning with verse 9, the writer says, "We have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with knowledge, the knowledge of His will, through all spiritual wisdom and understanding, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light." We take for granted the peace that God offers us. We take for granted the freedom that God offers us from being torn to pieces by guilt. One of the things we need to be reminded is that being thankful is the key to peace. You know, I had a friend one time who was a very wise man, and I actually got this from his wife. They were having a spat. Do you ever have a spat with your wife or your husband? They were having a spat. And she was pretty hot. And they were yelling at each other. And finally she said, "I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to sit down and write all the things that are wrong with each other so we can work on them." And he said, "Okay." So she had a clipboard and he had a clipboard. And they sat down across the table. And she wrote something. And he wrote something. And she wrote something again. And he wrote something again. And she wrote something again. And he wrote two things. So she wrote three things. And pretty soon she had to flip the page. So he flipped the page. And this went on for 20 minutes or so. And finally, they sort of ran out of ideas. And she said, "All right, now we're going to exchange these tablets. And we're going to start working on getting this straightened out so we won't have this kind of fight anymore." He said, "Okay." So they exchanged tablets. And she started crying. Because the first thing she read was, "I love you." And the second thing she read was, "I want our marriage to be better." And the third thing she read was, "I know I make mistakes. I'm sorry." And she tried to get her tablet back. You know, being able to be thankful and appreciative is a key to peace. In Colossians, the 3rd chapter, beginning with verse 15, there are three calls in three verses for Christians to be thankful. Listen to this. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." How do you get that kind of peace? How do you have the ability to go to sleep at night? How do you have the ability not to be consumed with guilt? "Since as members of the one body you were called to peace and be thankful. That's verse 15. The next verse. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And then listen to the last statement. With gratitude in your hearts to God. We need to fill our hearts with gratitude, with thanksgiving, not only to God, but to one another. And whatever you do, the next verse, whether in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through Him. Why do we have Mother's Day? I have the history of Mother's Day on the back of your bulletin, but why do we have Mother's Day? Why has it caught on as it has? I mean, we get away from the commercialization and stuff that I talked about in the bulletin. Why do we have that? I think the important thing to understand is that we understand the importance of at least once a year saying thanks to our mothers. The importance of establishing that those people, and it may not be our biological mother, the person who has raised us, the person who has been there for us, the person who has done things for us that can only be an expression of love. We realize, even our hedonistic society, even our materialistic society realizes there's a need to be thankful. Ephesians 6, beginning with verse 1, honor your mother and father, which is the first commandment with promise. We had a wonderful class this morning with Richard about what this business is about honoring. You remember what the last thing Jesus Christ did before He died? Recorded in John 19, beginning with verse 26. When Jesus therefore saw His mother standing by, He said to His disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. The last thought Jesus had was a concern for His mother. We have a tendency to focus on failings of people. I think it's easy for us to say, well, my mother wasn't a very good person. She did thus and so. God calls us to honor our mothers. My mother was an atheist. I've told you lots of stories about my mother. But one thing I came to realize as a Christian was that even though my mother wasn't a perfect person, and even though she had some really bad beliefs, and even though some of her beliefs torpedoed the lives of her sons, the fact of the matter was God calls me to honor my mother. I'm called as a Christian to love her, to care for her. We need to understand the importance of being thankful, of caring for people. Love can build a bridge. It's so important for us to understand the nature of our relationship to people we care about. And let me encourage you today to be thankful you still have time if you do. Be thankful you have time. Don't take that for granted. Don't take that for granted in connection with God. Don't take it for granted in connection with your mother. Or for that matter, the other people in your family. I know that I'm showing my age here. But back in my hippie days, there was a guy that I enjoyed the music of very much. His name was David Gates. He was a part of a group called Bread. And he wrote a song, and I think everybody thought this was a love song. But this song had a major effect upon my thinking and my understanding. And it has a challenge in it. I want you to listen to the lyrics of it. It's called Everything I Own. You sheltered me from harm, kept me warm, kept me warm. You gave my life to me. Set me free, set me free. The finest years I ever knew were all the years I had with you. And I would give anything I own, give up my life, my heart, my home. I would give everything I own just to have you back again. You taught me how to love, what it's of, what it's of. You never said too much, but still you showed the way. And I knew from watching you no one else could ever know the part of me that can't let go. And I would give everything I own just to have you back again. And then he gives us this challenge because he wrote that song on the casket of one of his parents. And he says, is there someone you know? You're loving them so, but taking them all for granted. You will lose them one day. They'll be taken away. And they don't hear the words you long to say. If your mother's still available to you, Let them know you love them. Don't focus on their faults. Don't focus on their shortcomings. Don't focus on their failings. Focus on their love and their care. Be thankful you have time. It's time to show love to family. Mother's Day is a great celebration. But I pray that this will just be one day out of a long year that you will use in that way. Be thankful you have time. And be sure to express that love. But may I also encourage you to take time to be a new person. You know, we've talked about newness a lot here. And I think it's important to understand that you can't continue to procrastinate on being a new person, on being a better person, on being someone that lives life differently. I want you to listen to Romans 6, beginning with verse 3, and then I want you to couple it with me to Colossians 3. Romans 6, we've quoted quite a bit. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him, that through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might have a new life. We too might have a new life. Probably the most significant verse in the Bible, in the New Testament, that talks about that new life is Colossians, the third chapter. I want you to listen to this description of what you and I should be. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Let your hearts be on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with Him in glory. And then He gives these practical pieces of advice. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourself of all these things. Get rid of anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Don't lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on new self, which is now being renewed in the knowledge and the image of the Creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but in Christ all that is in all. Now that's the description of the old man. That's the description of the man that is ridden with guilt. I've told you, one of my biggest problems, one of my biggest challenges in becoming a Christian has been forgiving myself for the things I was a part of when I was an atheist. I lived a bad life. There were things I did that were very destructive, things I cannot undo. But one of the things we have to understand, and one of the things we have to be thankful about God, thankful to God for, is that God has given us time to correct that, to be something different. And so He describes all this stuff that we leave behind in the old life, all the stuff that we are not a part of. And then He goes on, starting with verse 12, and talks about what the new life is about. Listen to this description. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against each other. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. There it is again. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's the new Christian. That's the new man. That's the new woman. Give thanks to God that God has given you time to perfect those. And you say, well, I have a hard time with all that. Welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. I became a Christian when I was 20. I've had 55 years and I'm still working on it. It doesn't happen quickly. You know, I think we want instant gratification in everything we do, including our lives. What God calls us to be a new person, to tap into the power that God has given us, to not allow ourselves to be a part of those old things, and to not be frustrated with the fact that we don't have things move as fast as we want them to move. Be thankful you have time. As we celebrate Mother's Day, as we honor the women who have been influential in our lives, as we think about the need that we have to express to them our love and our appreciation, let us all understand the importance of each one of us committing to God a newness in our lives. Would you bow with me in a prayer? Father, we come to you this morning so thankful for so many things. We're so thankful we can meet here and not be threatened. We're so thankful that we have the opportunity to be full both in terms of food and in terms of water, but also to be full in terms of understanding and knowledge. Father, help us to grow in that understanding. We're so thankful for the women who have blessed our lives, for not only our mothers, but our grandmothers, those who have been there for us when we needed someone, be it a sister or be it a brother or sister in Christ or be it a fleshly sister. God, we take for granted so many times these relationships, and so many times, as you heard and as we together here heard in the psalm that David Gates wrote, it isn't until we lose somebody that we really come to appreciate what they did for us and how much we love them and how much they did to take care of us. God, help us this morning to be people who move away from that kind of thought and that kind of selfishness, and help us move to be new people, people who are, in fact, striving to live as you call them to live, people who are, in fact, able to express love and thankfulness to not only our mothers, but to the others who have been important in our lives. And as the world around us celebrates this day, help us to see in it your great wisdom for the family, for the relationships, for the things that give us the capacity to live successfully in life. And Father, help us in our relationship to you. We take for granted so many things you've done for us. We take for granted the opportunity we have to come here and worship. We take for granted the privilege of living in this great country where we have this kind of freedom. And even though we see threats and problems around us, we still are so blessed, Father, and let us understand that. And Father, help us in our walk that we may draw closer to you. If there are those here this morning, Father, who have not become Christians, we pray that your hand will be upon them, that your spirit will move on their hearts, that they may determine they're going to commit themselves to you and that they're going to live a life of appreciation and gratitude and thankfulness and youthfulness, that they will not embrace the world and all of the destructive agents that are out there. And help each one of us, Father, who have become Christians, to do a better job of understanding your love and your patience and your will for us. We pray, Father, that you will bless us as we leave here today, that we will live as people who act out your word, that there, in fact, will be people who we will be able to influence in a positive way. Give us the strength and the courage to do that. For we ask all these things in Christ's name. If you're here this morning, if you're not a Christian, if you're here this morning and if you have a need you'd like to express to this group, we encourage you to do that. As together we stand and sing to encourage you, won't you please come?